I write down the word covenant. Write down the word. Y'all looked at me like I ain't said something different. Write down the word covenant. Write down the word cultivate. Spell the best way you know how to spell it. Write down the word condition. Write down the word create. Covenant. Cultivate. Condition. And create. It's living by the book, right? It's the name of this class, right? This book is one long. I know the book says one long love story, but it is that, and it's also telling us and explaining to us and showing us, and making clear to us and teaching us our covenant with God. If we live by this book, then we live by covenant. They call us the Western civilization. We're Westernized. So that means we don't know too much about covenant. We don't know too much about we know about contracts. You know what I'm saying? You sign that and I do my job and you pay me that money. We know about that, but that is nowhere close. It's a form and a fashion of a covenant, but it's nowhere close to what covenant is. It's nowhere close to the power. We talk about connection a lot. Connection is great, but covenant is powerful. So this book, this Bible is one long, I don't want to call it a story because I feel like it'd be demeaning, just a testament of our covenant. One long testament. The original didn't even say nothing about the New Testament and the Old Testament. It just was what it was. King James came up with the testaments. New Testament, Old Testament, they did that when they translated it. But it's one long testimony of our covenant with God. It just telling us who we are. Who we're supposed to be, but more so who we are. Hopefully, by we finish tonight, we'll get somewhere. So this is one long covenant. So one of the things we have to do is cultivate. I looked at the definition of cultivate, and it's real quick, and I don't do much of this, but let me find it for a second. And cultivate, one definition of cultivate is to prepare and use, and it was talking about land for crops or gathering, but number two definition is to try to acquire or develop a quality, a sentiment or a skill. So it's trying to acquire or develop. So when you're cultivating something, you're developing and you're acquiring a skill. You're becoming skilled at something. When something is cultivated, you can cultivate your giving by being skillful at giving. You can cultivate any kind of gifts you have by becoming skillful at that thing. So now with the Word of God, you have to cultivate. You have to cultivate the Word of God in your mind. You have to acquire the skills of the Word of God and know what it's saying and know what it's telling you. Know what it's telling you to be. This will be a cultivation factor. When you're reading and you're studying, we're gonna go to some scriptures that we know over and over again. But when you're reading and you're studying the Word, you're cultivating yourself a covenant. Listen to me. You're cultivating yourself a covenant. Remember, I am a three parts of three parts. All right, we did the same thing last time, amen. Now, I don't know. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. All right, so I am a. So the truth is a spirit man, but I have a soul and I have a body, right? I have a soul and I live in this body. My spirit is the part of God that's in me. It's my connection with God, all right? I know people want to talk about make your spirit better. You can't make your spirit better. It's the spirit of God. How do you make God better? You can't make God better, all right? He is who he is all by himself, and that's on the inside of you. So you're not making that better, but you can make this soul better. You can cultivate this soul to be able to receive and be everything it's supposed to be. All the problems that you have begin here. You're not possessed. You never demon. You ain't in your spirit. You ain't got no bad spirit. It's up here. It's in your soul. So now you must cultivate towards covenant. We're Western civilization, so we don't know much about covenant. We know about getting married and having handshakes and making agreement. We don't know about covenant. Covenant means blood got to be shed. Covenant means we make a mark, and it's a mark. And when he used to do covenant, one of the reasons that Jesus got, you know, people say nailed, when he got nailed in his wrist and his, the reason that happened because that's where they cut covenant at. There's an old covenant. They used to cut covenant. They shed blood. When you make covenant, I'm going to cut your arm and cut my arm, and we're going to mingle our bloods together. and it's gonna be a mark that's gonna stay there. You're not. It's gonna be. It's just covenant. There ain't no choice. So what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. So we don't know too much about that over here. We don't know anything about bloodshed, and thank God for the covenant that Jesus shed the blood, so we don't have to kill animals. But some of that stuff was good for some of them people sometimes, because the working of it and the seeing of it and the slaughter of the animal, letting the blood drain. And they used to tell them, eat everything. Don't let nothing go to waste. You and your family, eat everything. Don't leave nothing there. That was for a reason. Can you imagine how covenant-minded the children of Israel was in Egypt when they did the Passover? Now, I bet there were some people that wanted to be stubborn and wasn't covenant-minded, didn't want to put nothing over their post. Well, there we go. But that tells you covenant, the death angel come flying through, and your house and your children are taken care of because of the blood being up on your post. It's covenant-minded. Everybody say covenant-minded. Come on, say it again, covenant-minded. Say it one more time, covenant-minded. Now, you're not going to be covenant-minded after this message. You're going to need some work. You're not going to be covenant-minded after the next message after this. You're going to need some work. You got a lot of stuff on the inside of us that need to be uprooted. The Bible says to tear down and to uproot and to destroy and then to plant and to build. That's talking about us. That's what the Word of God is doing us on a day-by-day basis. When we're studying this Word and we're studying the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God and even our study time, it's tearing down old things that's been built in us. You're not a black man. You're not a black woman. You're a covenant man. You're a covenant woman. You're not a white man and a Chinese man, whatever it is. None of that matters. We can change that with some sun. You're a covenant man. You're a covenant woman. Say, I am. And whatever you are saying, that don't men say you're a man, a woman say you're a woman. I am a covenant man. All right, now you have to, that's the mindset. Point to your mind for a second. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. See. Are you born again? I can't hear you. Are you born again? Yeah, you're born again, all right? So if you're born again, the covenant has been cut with God already. The blood that was shed, don't ever discredit the covenant. Whenever you live your life outside of covenant, you're discrediting the blood. So don't discredit the covenant that was cut by Jesus and his blood, by the Lamb, the Holy Lamb, the sinless Lamb, all right? The covenant was cut with God at that moment. When Jesus began to shed that blood and when he died on the cross for you and he rose again, that covenant, when you decided to you thought you found Christ, but he found you. You thought that's how it was. You thought you found him. No, he knew you already. So when y'all connected and met and when you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then believed in your heart, you decided you gave him lordship over your life and you made a covenant with him. You mingled your blood with his blood. So now there's a covenant there. There's a covenant. Everybody say there's a covenant there. There's a covenant there. So you're already covenant. In your spirit, you're already covenant. You are a covenant man. You are a covenant woman. That is who you are. That's not who you're becoming. That's not who you want to be. That's not what you're aspiring to. You already are. Say, I am. Sound familiar, don't it? Tell him, I am that I am sent you. Jesus told him after that, said, y'all talking about Moses. Before Moses was, I am. Jesus was talking another time. You know, I'll teach you how to study a little bit. You can take those italicized words out of the Bible sometimes. You don't always have to take them out. You can read them and it's comfortable. But sometimes when you take them out, it is very absolute. God is a very absolute speaker. God doesn't speak a matter of fact. Like, he's very, like, this is what it's going to be. This be. He don't say this is going to be. Ain't got no time for is going. Is going is a trip. No, this be. Let there be light. And there was. It had nothing in between him saying, let there be, and the fact that it was being. That's how God speaks. Somewhere along the line, we got all this, the shell and the English and the subject and verb agreement, and we got all this thing. But if you look at the old Hebrew language, the way it was written, it is very matter of fact. It is very on the line. It is very what is, this is what it is. There's no question about it. So the I am, right down next to covenant, I am. Even when Jesus was talking one time in the New Testament, you could take those italicized words out. He said, many going to come saying that I am. Now, the scripture said that I am the Christ, but it's italicized. Christ is italicized. So really what he's saying, many going to come saying I am. They're going to come say they the one. You get it? That's a way to study. We're training in the word, right? Right? We're studying the word and living by the book, right? So in your study time, you can take those words out. And it's very matter of fact. It's very straight to the point. I'm going to teach some other words we can take out once you become conditioned. Don't throw me no scriptures. Don't take nothing from the word. Don't add nothing to it. I told you what it is. Italicized words, the word King James added, not King Jesus. Amen. I know y'all get to quote these scriptures in your head. Sometimes you won't say them, but they're in there. So let me talk to them for a second. All right, so now covenant-minded, I am-minded. Covenant-minded means I am. Covenant-minded means I am. Covenant-minded means that I am. Not I will be, not I'm going to get there, not I'm climbing up the mountain to try. No, I already am. Say it. But you got to cultivate your mind for that. You know, you're trying to develop or acquire. You're trying to acquire that mindset. Now, you have the lifestyle already, but you got to acquire that mindset. You get it? You have the life already. Say it, I have the life already. But I must acquire the mindset. See, you know you don't have the mindset already because some things missing out your life right now. Well, what's missing from God? If I got a covenant with God, what the covenant said? You get a definition of covenant yesterday in church. And what covenant said, let me look at definition real quick. And then we're going from there. And I wrote it down in my notes. Come on, find it. The covenant is a binding, unbreakable obligation between two parties. You got to go back and read this on, or you go listen to this online, because I'm not going to say it again. The binding, unbreakable obligation between two parties that creates a loving relationship in which each party is bound by specific undertaking on each person's behalf. I'll say it again. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say it again. The covenant is a binding, unbreakable obligation between two parties that creates a loving, underline loving, relationship in which each party is bound by specific undertaking on each person's behalf. So what covenant does is eliminate weaknesses. So what covenant says is, I heard a pastor say this yesterday, and I love that he said, I can't do it, but I'm connected to somebody who can. You know, in the Bible, a lot of times we don't ask the right questions. Sometimes we so word of faith driven that we don't understand how to answer God when he asks us something. God said, how are you going to do that? You don't know, but you're supposed to answer, but thou knowest God. Lord, neither we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. A lot of times in the scripture, they always said that, thou knowest, Lord. The Lord said, well, how are we going? Well, thou knowest, Lord. Jesus said that, you know, they're talking about the five loaves and two fish. He said that to prove him because he already knew what he was going to do. He asked, how 200 penny worth of bread ain't even enough to feed these people. How are we going to feed all these people? But he already knew they didn't answer right. They shouldn't ask him how much. They shouldn't have told him how much it costs. This is it, Lord, you know. You know how you're going to do this or how you want to do this. See, we're asking for too much, asking for too many things, and we're saying some stuff, and it becomes, last week, like I talked about it, vain babbling to God. No. God, what's your will? God, what you want? Now, God will ask you some questions to test you, and what you need to say is, God, I don't know, but you know, so how you want to do this? Stop quoting to God all your scriptures. Stop telling God all this stuff you know. Lord, you know. If we knew everything that we thought we knew, wouldn't we be in somewhere different? Let's get to the bottom of it. Like, here's why I know the mind needs to be covenant cultivated, because what is God missing? Nothing, but what are we missing? Don't answer me. So if I'm missing something, that means I don't know something. If I'm missing something, that means I'm not cultivated or clear. Because if I got a covenant with God, don't I? Right? I got a covenant. The blood was shed, wasn't it? And it was said for me, he gave his life for me. So I made connection. So now I'm covenant. I'm a covenant man. You're a covenant woman. You're a covenant man. But right now, if I don't have what the covenant says I can have, it's somewhere that I'm not cultivated in the covenant. It's somewhere this word hasn't taken root. All right, so now I got cultivation. So now also when they talk about cultivating the land to prepare crops. So now you have to cultivate yourself to receive revelation. So you can't just sit up in service and think you're going to get a revelation. I see revelation. I sit in church, and I look around, I see revelation. This is the example I give. We were talking yesterday. This is the example I give. When we leave out of church on Sunday, we got to go back and scoop a bunch of revelation off the floor because it just hit people and drop. People leaving revelation in their seat every week. How I know? Because things ain't changing for them. Leaving revelation in the seats every week. You can't just come, just because you come to church, Just because you're born again, just because you're saved, don't mean you don't need to be cultivated. My aunt, before she passed away, we used to live in Gosman. She had a garden. We used to have a garden behind my house where we used to live in Gosman. And you know, we used to go back down in Auntie May. I love Auntie May. Sweet potato pie. God bless Auntie May. Amen. I can't wait to see it when we see it. All right. So we down. They going down the row. And what they got to do is, you don't just go down there dropping seeds. Nah, you got to go down there and till that ground and cultivate that ground. You got to break up something that got rocks down in there. Don't it sound like us sometimes? Come on, amen. Don't it sound like us sometimes? We got all them rocks around our heart and rocks around our mind and rocks around our understanding. We don't know where we got them rocks from. Sometimes you do know where you got them rocks from, but we just got rocks. So now you got to be tilled and your ground got to be cultivated. You got to break up that ground. And until you break up the ground, and the ground is broken up enough to receive seed, then the seed can get down in there. Come on, I don't have to go to the parable about the sower the word, right? And some fell among stony ground, and some fell among thorns, and some fell. They're just talking about us. That's talking about us. It's talking about right here. But you got to cultivate that ground and open that ground up for the seed to be able to drop down in there, because it got to go down in there and say the seed must die first on the inside before it can grow. But it got to reach the inside. See, what happens is the revelation comes. How do you hear? It could be a powerful revelation. I can give you a powerful revelation tonight. And how the first way you're going to receive it? Don't say in your spirit. The first way you're going to do is right here, right here. All right, but to go through here, you got to go through here. But if this ain't cultivated to receive it, then it'll never reach the creative power on the inside of you to make it manifest in your life. Which is why we can scream money cometh, but money don't come to you because we haven't been cultivated for the money to come in. The revelation has not reached your creative, your human recreated spirit that creates things in your life. So because it hasn't reached it, it does not manifest in your life. I give you four words. I give you covenant, cultivate, condition, and the last one is create. But it cannot create without the creator on the inside of you. So now the cultivation has to take place. So now when you're down that rope, that ground got to be broken up. So when I'm praying in tongues, when I'm studying the word, see, we don't study to get things, or we don't study to have things. We study to cultivate so we can receive the revelation. See, the power ain't in the things. The power is in the revelation, and the things come because the revelation is there. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So I'll draw, if I'm going to draw a man, which is God, the man, the spirit of man is God's currency. If I can draw men, you better be sure I can draw things. So now the cultivation, everybody say cultivation. So now it's got to be broken up. So now when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, watch this. When I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm cultivating. I'm cultivating. The Holy Ghost told me, make sure I don't stop adding this. And we're not just preparing to receive the word, but we're speaking mysteries when we're speaking the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen? So now it's cultivating. It's cultivating. And when I'm reading this word, it's cultivating me. So now when I'm wherever I'm at and whoever's speaking and the revelation come, it can hit me in my spirit, man. Boom. I mean, yes, it got to come through here, but it can drop down, boom, in my spirit. And that thing can start cultivating in there and start germinating, like they say. And then all of a sudden, that thing will manifest in your life. And it'll be quicker than you think. It takes so long because of your cultivation. Waiting is not one of the commandments. It is not a rule of faith. We made it that because we're trying to make up for our ego because we wasn't ready. So because Jesus said straightway, suddenly, immediately, all these things happen right then. And the works that I do shall you do also, the same ones, and then greater works that are going to my Father. So it should be suddenly, straightway, now, immediately for us. But we made a waiting gospel because we're trying to make up for the fact that we haven't cultivated enough. We had to make up for the fact that we hadn't cultivated our covenant in our minds. We have to make up for the fact that we've been churching and not coveting in me. I don't even know if that's a word, but you get what I'm saying. So we've been westernized, this westernized church culture. They don't preach covenant. They don't preach it in its fullness. So are we play the church, but we don't understand the covenant. So we're trying to reach something. Our faith is always trying to reach something. It is always trying to work. Well, what can you accomplish that's higher than the fact that Jesus died, he bled, died, and rose again? That's it. You know, he wasn't lying when he said, it is finished. He wasn't lying. What you thought you were talking about something else? No, it's done. You already are. I already am. Say I am.
I am.
Come on, say it again. I am.
I am.
Come on, loud. Say I am.
I am.
That's what it is. But I got to cultivate myself. See, like we're hearing this right now. And you put the stuff in you. You put the word in you. You listen to. You read those things. And you listen to those things. And you read those things that keep telling you who you are. Not what somebody else wants you to be, but who God said you are. See, opinions, all these opinions. Many people preach on opinions. They preach about how they feel. Nobody cares about how you feel. What's real? So now, all these things is going in. All these things is going in your mind. Are you, when you leave here, are you cultivating? When you go listen to whatever your favorite one on TV, are you cultivating? Or is it just cool? Does it feel good? So we ain't got no time to be playing no games. It's straight up covenant. That's who we are. Anytime you're not walking in covenant, you're dealing with identity crisis. You're being somebody that you not really are. Because you're supposed to be over here in covenant. You're supposed to be speaking to it and it answers. Huh? You're supposed to call it and it comes. But if it ain't coming and it ain't answering, it's because you're not covenant-minded. You have a covenant spirit, but you're not covenant. See, God gave us this three-part being for a reason. We be fussing and trying to stomp the mind out and hold the mind out and keep the body under and all that. So, no, God called all that to work together. That's our Trinity. That's our Holy Trinity in us. There's three parts. He called all that to work together. But if we don't cultivate this mind, then everything else is going to go to part. No matter how strong your spirit is. So covenant is cultivate. So covenant deals with I am. Now you cultivate. Then another word is, everybody say condition. Come on, say it again. Condition. No. We don't have to go there. Joshua 1 and 8 says, anybody quote it to me? Joshua 1 and 8. Go, who haven't quoted, go ahead. Quote it. Y'all listening? Yep, you got thou must observe to do all that's written therein. Then you make way possible to have good success. Joshua 1:8. So y'all, everybody know that, right? Joshua 1:8. Now Psalms 1, right? Come on. What's Psalms? Come on. Ungodly. Not stand the way of the sinner. Not sit and see his cover. Huh? Come on. Go into me. Come on, let's go and read it. Come on. You're going to read it because there's some stuff in there. We be skipping over stuff sometimes. We skip over stuff that we're supposed to pick up. But when you go down that road to pick up that harvest, you don't need to be skipping that now. Huh? Huh? You ain't going to let nobody leave none of that tax return. No, you're supposed to add that 45. No, you ain't leaving nothing. When you get your change back from people, you ain't letting them leave nothing now. Well, I'll leave that extra 5. No, you ain't leaving nothing. You gather up the fragments that nothing be lost, don't you? Well, let's start picking up stuff in this word. Start leaving it on the floor. So now we recall the scripture, and what happens is, a popular church, we go to our favorites and we skip the ones that bring us to our favorites. I told about the day that, excuse me what I'm saying, but I told about the day, reading Proverbs 31, you know, I know we Proverbs 31, woman, all that stuff like that. Amen, but we can't jump to 31 without 1 through 30 first. 1 through 30 make you 31. You get it? All right, so we go to the scripture. All right, come on, it's real. The Lord told me that morning. I'm reading that. He said 1 through 30. And the man, they got a man in there too. He said he's honorable in his gate and everything. But you can't be him without 1 through 30, all the wisdom from 1 through 30. You can't just jump to where you want to in the Bible. We cannot be biblically selective. We want Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But nobody wants the other verses before that. We've got to take it all. Stop leaving stuff on the ground. Stop leaving it on the floor. So now we read the scripture. We jump to a lot of different things. But blessed is the man. Blessed the man. Take that towel somewhere. Blessed the man. They're walking down the counsel of God, not standing the way of sinner, not sitting to see the scoffer. But his delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate. How long? How long he do it? Uh-huh. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's good enough right there. That'll get some work done right there, won't it? You planted by the rivers of water. A tree by the rivers of water. That means you're going to get what you need. You ain't have to say nothing else. You know what comes after that, but we're going to read it anyway. And bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall also not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Whatsoever he doeth shall what? Whatsoever he do shall what? Prosper. I mean, whatever he's doing, it's going to prosper. No matter what it is, it's going to prosper. But all those things before, you can't be blessed is the man that walking down the counsel of the ungodly. Not standing the way of the sinner, not sitting to see the scornful. But the delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. See, it's cultivating. It's cultivating and conditioning. See, Joshua 1:8 is cultivating and conditioning. It's cultivating and conditioning yourself. This word cultivates and conditions you for covenant. You, I am. Everybody say, I am. I am. Come on, say it, I am. But you don't really know what you are. You really don't get it yet. You really don't know. You got an idea. You may be better than some other people. You know that man in the Bible, Jesus laid hands on that blind man. I told you this before. Jesus laid hands on that blind man. And the man said, I can see, but I see men walking in the streets. Y'all remember that? Well, I always say this. I always thought that, you know, with Jesus, you didn't put enough power into that first one. What was it? Did you not? You ain't put your umph on it? What was it, Jesus? I don't understand why you did that. Then he laid hands on him again. And he was totally open. I didn't understand that. And Jesus said, I'm showing you, y'all. I could have done it the other way, but I had to show you how it worked. I'm showing you how you are. The disciples should have picked it up when they was watching, but they didn't get it. They probably flew over their head. But he was trying to show you that you can be not blind, but still be somewhat in the dark. You get it? You can be not blind, but still unclear. Along with covenant comes clarity. And so that shows me, that's good. You can take that the blind man, the two touches, the blind man and the first touch, but I wasn't in the dark, but I need another touch to be clear. Well, you can put that with Joshua 5:39, search the scriptures, and then you think you have life, have eternal life, right? And that's cool. So you know a little bit more than the other person that's in the dark, right? But they will testify to me, but you won't come to me. So you need to come to me so you can be clear on this thing. You can be clear about who you are. Our identity is in Jesus. So Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1 is how we cultivate and condition. I got to get back to these notes. How do we cultivate and condition ourselves for covenant? All right? And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of everything. If we understand, Jesus. Can we talk about Jesus for a little while? I ain't hear you. Can we talk about Jesus for a little while? See, let me tell you something about Jesus the Christ. All right? Jesus the Christ was, you go read about it. He was very absolute in what he did. There was no questions. There were no, it wasn't. And if he asked a question, he was just trying to test you to see what you were going to say. But I already know I got the power. I don't need your faith or my faith. Lord, I believe. Remember that? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He helped that unbelief too, didn't he? Listen, I am who I am with or without you. You get it? So I'm going to do the will of the Father. I only came down here to show you what God looked like in the flesh anyway. So he's very absolute. You go read the stories about Jesus. When Jesus spoke, it was. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, what happened was Jesus got to this fig tree, and the fig tree, I don't care if it wasn't season. I don't care if it wasn't time for the figs. I'm here. I command all this. You should have started growing when you saw me. You saw me coming down there. You knew I was coming down the street. All creation know. You knew I was coming, so you should have started growing. Oh, but you don't want to grow, so I got to speak to you immediately. Now, why did Jesus have to speak to him immediately? If Jesus didn't speak to him immediately, he'd have took on the fact that tree told him no.
Yeah.
And it'll challenge his covenant.
Yeah.
You can't challenge covenant. What you got going on in your life that's trying to challenge your covenant? Mm-hmm. So you need to start speaking to that thing. So he spoke to that tree and said, you got to die. What you dealing with in your body right now? What you dealing with your body right now? What you dealing with in your body? The thing got to die. Once you speak to it out of a covenant mindset and a covenant heart set, it's got to die. I don't care what the doctor said. It's got to die right then. So he's very a matter of fact. So I can imagine he speak to the tree and said, ain't nobody eating of you therefore, and I'm going about my business. We ain't got no time to sit there. Everybody stretch your hands toward the tree and pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Sha-da-da-da. We ain't got to do that. You know, that's how we do in New Church. Shout out, ba ba, shout out, then we peek at it, and it ain't moved yet, so we shout out, ba ba. No, spoke to it and gone. I don't need to see no movement right now. I've already spoken. Covenant mindset says, I've already spoken, so I don't need to see anything on top of the ground, because I know under the ground it's killing it. So we need to see stuff. We doubting Thomas. I ain't going to believe it until I see the holes in his hands. And even Jesus showed the hole to Thomas. So it's grace and mercy. Wasn't that cool of him to do that? That was nice of Jesus to do that for Thomas, right? That's real nice of him. But Jesus spoke to the tree and kept it moving. Went and did what he did and said, it came back. Look, Lord. It sounded like us church people. Look, Lord. The tree you cursed is dead. Let's shout about it. Jesus said, have faith in God. Ain't no question whether he was going to die or not.
Right, right. We ain't got no time to sit there and talk about this. But then since you didn't believe in God, let me talk to you right now. Then go to Mark 11. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11, 23. Come on, we start off with 22. Because he says, have faith in God. Now the whole time, every time Jesus is telling a parable, he's talking to them, he's trying to condition them. He is the word. Right? He is the word. So he's trying to condition them on who they are, who they're supposed to be, but they was missing it. They was missing it. So he said, verse 22, what did he say? Have faith. Let's go to verse 20 so we can put everything in perspective. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursest is withered away. And I don't even believe Jesus is going to stop and talk about it. I don't even believe he's going to, because the way he answered, I could tell. He said, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Verse 23, read it. Stop, don't read it. Now watch this. I'm going to teach you something. Can I teach y'all something real quick? Can I teach you how the covenant mind that works? See, when you become conditioned for covenant, nothing is conditional anymore. When I am, everybody say I am. Come on, say I am conditioned. When I am conditioned, it's no longer conditional. So the mights and the ifs and the maybes gonna go out the window. I watch it, when I'm conditioned, even the shalls and the will be go out the window because I already am. It doesn't say I will be, it says I am. See, everybody say come up. Everybody do your hands, say come up. Come on, everybody do your hands. Come on, do both hands, say come up. You're talking to yourself now. Everybody say come up. We got to get it up then. Now we got to come up. We got to come up. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Lord, we got to come up. Now watch it. We got to come up in our revelation. Now watch it. When you're conditioned, you're no longer conditional. So these words don't matter to you anymore. Anybody know what John 10 and 10 say? I come that you what? But you got them words in there, them M words in there. What they say? That you might have life and you might have it more. Well, what does might say? You might and you might not, huh? It's a possibility that you might, but you might not. I give thee power to give wealth that you may establish, you might. You might do, but you might not. No. But when you're covenant minded, there is no might not. So now say the scripture without the might. I am come that you have life and you have it more abundantly. Don't that sound real absolute? Don't that sound straight to the point? Don't that sound better than me feeling like I might not, right? But it's all about your covenant mindset. Do you get it? When you become conditioned, it's no longer conditional. It's only conditional to you when your mind is not conditioned to who you are in Christ. God, I have connection with God. Who? I got connection with God. It's cool for y'all to be connected to me and we connected to other people, and that's cool. But when I got a connection with God, that means nothing is missing and nothing is broken. So I should have everything that I say. Verse 23, read it. Verse 24. Now, it's two, I will be. But what do we say? Huh? Say it loud. I am. All right. Say it.
I am.
All right, now I am and I will be is two different things. I am means now in this present moment, it is. I'm is. I don't know any good English, but I'm is right now. I'm is. I know some of us say I'm is and some of us do, but I'm is. Say I'm is. We won't talk all subject and verb agreement. That subject and verb agreement got us waiting for all kind of stuff. Say I'm is right now. I'm is. Come on, say I am.
I
know what. So I am and I will be are two different things. I will be pushes. I will be defers. I will be says something is coming. But Jesus has come already. Next time he come, we go into glory. Jesus already been on this earth to show us. He's already came and died and rose again already. And he's given us the I am ability. He's given us a covenant to be right now. See, there's something about, the Jews still have money. They still live on top. But you know why? Because they understand who they are. There is no identity crisis. We come from different backgrounds. I know we go back and talk about Slim Martin Luther King Day and talk about all the slavery. And I understand we come from and all the different stuff happened. But now we got a new covenant. I ain't black no more. What? I'm free at last. Free at I ain't black no more. So now I got a covenant. But now I got to condition myself from my blackness. Or whatever it is. It ain't just got to be black. I'm just talking to y'all black people in here. But it ain't got to be just that. It can be whatever it is. You ain't never going to be nothing. Dad ain't never had nothing. Mom ain't never had nothing. You ain't going to never have nothing. Uh-oh. That ain't me, though. You get it? So I conditioned myself to Jesus. I conditioned myself to Jesus. So now I am is different from I will be. I am is different from I shall. Read 23 and 24 without them shells in there. Read it. Go ahead. Ready to read. 23, just skip the shells. Read it. Ready to go. He have it. He shall have it. He have it. He have it. He shall have it. All right. He have it. He have it. Oh, he shall have it if he get up and go over there, but he ain't got to get up and go over there because it's already been done. He have it. You see, he have it. I know it ain't got no verb in there. We don't need no verb. It's all a verb is always talking about what needs to happen and what's getting done, but it's already done. And so when you sing that song, it's already done. It's already done. It is already finished. So read, come read verse 24. Without the shells, go ahead, read it. Now, hold on. Before you go. This condition mindset now. This revelation condition mindset now. Now, if you're scared to not say shell, then this ain't for you. If you're scared of I am, then this ain't for you right here. If you still want to shell, then keep shelling. And you're going to be waiting. How long we been waiting? Come on, y'all. Come on. Too long. Say it, too long. We just been waiting too long. We've been waiting too. How long did God wait when he said, let there be light? He didn't wait at all. He said, let there be, and there was. Take out the shells, verse 24, read it. Believe you receive them and you have them. Believe you receive them and you have them. It's talking about covenant, conditioning your mind, cultivating your mind. Believe you receive them and you have them. So that means when I believe, that's when I got it. Yeah. Matter of fact, watch this. I can't even say it. It's not when I believe I can. When it's I believe, so I got it. You get it? Because all when and shall and all the no time. But God don't respect time. God is not a God of time and space. He is. So now, I am. Everybody say, I am. Come on, say it again. I am. You start talking to yourself and say, I am healed. I am health. I am rich. I am wealth. I am holy. See, all the things that you want, all the things you want to get, you start calling yourself that. You start saying, stop. I don't need to say it to you. You say it to yourself. You know, did you know that you hear your own voice better than you hear anybody else's? That's a scientific fact that you hear your own voice. But sometimes you need to make a little recording and put it on while you're sleeping. Turn the TV off. All them other people singing to you. Sing to yourself. I record music, and I realize that I do it. When I do it, I really don't do it with the mindset of, yeah, this one's gonna get them right here. Or this the one that's gonna work for me. And I'm thinking about other people. I really am. I'm thinking about it. But a lot of times I'm just writing what comes out of my heart. I can't write nothing but what come out of there. If I write something else, then I'm lying. So I'm writing stuff that come out of my heart, and I'll write it. I wrote a song about 2 years ago and went back and listened to it, and it started ministering to me in 2015, what was going on. I didn't even know. Sometimes I say this stuff, and I don't even know what I'm saying. It seems like it don't even make sense. Ain't no subject-verb agreement, right? None of that. But it started talking to me about now. Then I begin to hear myself, and it encourages my faith, and it encourages my covenant, and it brings me back to who I am. See, all this stuff should be bringing you back to who you are. Don't forget. Remember, everybody say remember. It always tells you to remember. It also forget not. Don't forget your covenant. So now I have. I be. Like, you know what I'm saying? It is. Just be and everything else will become. Come on. Just be. Say it, I am. Come on, say it again, I am. Come on, say it again, I am. You gotta don't leave this. Hey, we were talking yesterday. Don't leave this on the floor. Look around. Don't leave it on the floor. We can't leave this on the floor in this classroom. All right, I'm gonna probably say that every time. Don't leave this on the floor. Don't leave this in your seat. When I say don't leave this in your seat, don't get out here and then go back to your way of thinking. Cause something happened to you tonight. You done heard something that changed your mind. I guarantee. Listen, don't tell me. You better say yes, amen. Cause something that happened to you done changed your mindset. I know mind changing too. So we can't leave it on the floor. You better take that with you. Take it with you. And when you gonna start it? Now. I started walking to the car. Matter of fact, don't even talk to me when we leave out here. Like, I love y'all, but I ain't coming to speak to y'all. Don't talk to me. I'm trying to get my I am-ness together. So I'm an I am all the way to the car. You get it? When I say you get it, y'all say I got it. You get it? Do you get it? I got it. So you got to have this. So I become conditioned to my covenant. When I become conditioned, things are no longer conditional. All right, so what I want you to think of this, and I'm going to give you some scriptures. Psalms 1, I give you Joshua 1 and 8, John 15, 10. We ain't got time to read that. But he's talking about keep my commandments. We're going to go back into it next week because I'm going to remember to go back to the same thing. I know we'd be jumping. But John 15 and 10, 1 John 2 and 3, 1 John 3, 22. I'm going to say them again. Psalms 1. Joshua 1 and 8, John 15 and 10, 1 John 2 and 3, and 1 John 3 and 22. So when I get all these things together, I begin to create. So what condition do you have going on in your life that don't look like God? Now, this is how we find out where we are. What's the best, how to use a map? What's the first rule of using a map? Find out where you are. No, not find out where you go. You find out where you at. Well, find out where you at. All right. So now, that's how you find out. What condition you got in your life that don't look like him? What you got that don't look like him? Now, and don't let the enemy make you feel bad. He's an accuser. He tried to make you feel guilty. See, there's a difference between conviction and guilt. See, conviction is by the Holy Ghost, and he always brings you somewhere. Guilt try to stump you down and keep you there, make you feel bad about yourself. All right, no. So don't let the Holy Spirit, don't let the enemy do that to you. All right. What is it that condition in your life that don't look like God? The condition that don't look like Jesus. The one that now you take it and you start to condition yourself towards God's covenant. You get it? You start conditioning yourself to the covenant person that you are. So you say you might not have a dime in your pocket, but I'm rich. I'm blessed. I'm fully loaded. You can say that if you want to. You get it? I am. Everybody say I am. Now the power is in I am. The power is not in the wealth or the rich. The power is in the I am. I am brings at the pass. One of the most powerful covenant mind descriptions. We're gonna read that 1 John. Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. If some of us know the scripture, we're gonna look at it from covenant. Now 1 John 5, 14. And then we're gonna go. And for the sake of you need to read this. Don't leave this up on the floor. You need to read this chapter for yourself. Listen. Your conditioning. Well, what does an air conditioner do? What does air conditioner do? Make the room cool, huh? It makes it a cool climate, don't it? So your conditioning determines the climate. All right. Your conditioning. All right. So you remember in the book they said that you're reading the book, word can be like shredded wheat. Or it can be like nasty medicine. right? But then it could be like strawberries and cream, and strawberries may not be your thing. So remember, I told you, if you like blueberries or something else that you like to eat that's sweet, that's your thing, all right? The word of God can be like that. It's enjoyable, right? Well, your conditioning determines what it is to you. Now, if you're not conditioning on the regular, then it's always going to be like shredded wheat. It's always going to be like breaking bricks, and you're just struggling. See, I've gotten to the point, I used to struggle reading and try to pray. You know, y'all, if y'all tell the truth, y'all too. You know, I got to read. It's a struggle to read, and then you're trying to conquer the scripture. Hurry up and read it so you read. Or you shotgun praying in the Holy Ghost. But it get to a point to where you can't stop. It get to a point that you're mad that you got to go do something else for them people because you want to read the word. You get it? Y'all ain't listen to me. You get it? I'm going to say it again. You get it? I'm going to say it again. Y'all keep telling me, yes, sir. I don't want to know, yes, sir. Get it? All right, y'all got to pay attention. We in class. 1 John 5:14. Go there quick and read it. Read it. Ready, read. Verse 15. Now, ain't no deference in that scripture. We have. We ask, we have. We got it right then. Now, this is the confidence. Now, can I teach you how to study the word, please? Because y'all know that, knew that scripture, huh? Y'all knew that scripture, huh? What that's verse 14. But in order to know this is the confidence that we have in him. You can't just take that and run off and think you got the confidence, because you know what "and this" is. When you jump up and start talking about the covenant we got with Jesus and the price that he paid before when he died on the cross, it starts talking about the Son of God, believing on the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have. So whatever we say, we got it. It's covenant. Everybody say covenant. Everybody say I am. Everybody say I am. Come on, say I am covenant. Say, I am covenant. Say, I am covenant condition. Now, if I find you living uncovenanted, they say don't be like the Gentiles in the vanities of their minds, Ephesians 4. If I find you living like you ain't in the covenant, and you walk around here like you have no covenant, I'm going to hit you with a stick. Because you need to be beat with one. I'm going to write the word covenant on side of the stick and beat you with a covenant stick. All right? Before y'all leave, all right? This is what I need you to do. This is very important. You check around your seats. And in your seat around and all that, make sure you don't leave none of this revelation on the floor. It's precious. They say don't cast pearl or swine. Now, ain't nobody calling nobody a swine. Huh? You better pick it up then. Pick it up. Amen.